This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. What happened at the Théâtre des Champs-Élysées in Paris on May 29, 1913, may be the most important event in the history of what we call classical music. It wasn't the first performance to spark a riot, and it certainly wasn't the last, but it was the most significant, and it changed the course of music history. Igor Stravinsky was already famous before his ballet Le Sacre du Printemps, or The Rite of Spring, had its premiere that day in Paris. His two previous ballets for Serge Diaghilev's Ballet Russe, Petrushka and The Firebird, had been huge hits, and there was an enormous amount of what we now call buzz around his new work. A press release appeared in several Paris newspapers on the day of the premiere, describing the stammerings of a semi-savage humanity and frenetic human clusters wrenched incessantly by the most astonishing polyrhythm ever to come from the mind of a musician. They promised a new thrill, which will surely raise passionate discussions, but which will leave all true artists with an unforgettable impression, end quote. The musical community already knew how Stravinsky's score had completely mystified the orchestra in rehearsals, and even the ballet master proclaimed, "I think the whole thing has been done by four idiots. First, Monsieur Stravinsky, who wrote the music. Second, Monsieur Rarick, who designed the scenery and costumes. Third, Monsieur Nijinsky, who composed the dances. And fourth, Monsieur Diaghilev, who wasted money on it." End quote. The audience was certainly ready to voice their opinions. Some of them even brought whistles. Things stayed under control for about the first minute of the score. Then, said Stravinsky, they escalated into demonstrations, at first isolated, which soon became general, provoking counter-demonstrations and very quickly developing into a terrific uproar, end quote. Partisans brawled, socialites slapped their neighbors, gentlemen challenged each other to duels, and nobody on stage could hear the music. Diaghilev kept flashing the house lights on and off in a futile attempt to restore order, and Nijinsky stood on a chair just off stage, shouting out cues to the confused dancers. And thus was history made. It's ironic that this piece, which for decades has represented the promise, the outrage, and above all the beginning of the modernist age in music, has its roots in ancient folk song. For instance, the famous bassoon solo that opens the piece, and which strikes terror in the hearts of bassoonists everywhere, is based on an old Lithuanian tune. But what sets this work apart is how Stravinsky handled these folk elements. Other composers might have emphasized the gentle, pastoral atmosphere that ancient tunes like these can evoke. What Stravinsky did, and what makes this music so unsettling even today, was to tap into the tension between the simple and the complex, and its proximity to violence. Walt Disney actually got it right when he used it as the soundtrack to the creation of the world in Fantasia. Stravinsky did say that his opening introduction should represent the awakening of nature, the scratching, gnawing, wiggling of birds and beasts. End quote. The initial scenario for Le Sacre du Printemps was created jointly by Stravinsky and the designer Nicholas Rarick. It went through several versions, but its final form was in a text that Stravinsky prepared to use in the printed programs. This is what he wrote. Le Sacre du Printemps is a musical choreographic work. It represents pagan Russia and is unified by a single idea, the mystery and great surge of creative power of spring. The piece has no plot, but the choreographic sequence is as follows. Part 1, The Adoration of the Earth. The Spring Celebration. The pipers pipe and young men tell fortunes. Thank you. The old woman enters. She knows the mystery of nature and how to predict the future. Young girls with painted faces come in from the river in single file. They dance the spring dances. Games start. The spring Korovod, a stately dance. The people divide into two opposed groups. The holy procession of the wise old men. The oldest and wisest interrupts the spring games, which come to a stop. The people pause, trembling before the great action. The old men bless the earth. The kiss of the earth. The people dance passionately on the earth, sanctifying it and becoming one with it. Once again, Igor Stravinsky's description of part two of Le Sacre du Printemps, The Great Sacrifice. At night, the virgins hold mysterious games, walking in circles. One of the virgins is consecrated as the victim and is twice pointed to by fate, being caught twice in the perpetual circle of walking in rounds. The virgins honor her, the chosen one, with a marital dance. They invoke the ancestors and entrust the chosen one to the old wise men. she sacrifices herself in the presence of the old men in the great sacred dance. The Great Sacrifice. The title that Stravinsky gave the work in Russian, Vesna Svyashchennaya, can be translated literally as Sacred Spring. The French title, Le Sacre du Printemps, and its English version, The Rite of Spring, was the translation supplied by the artist Leon Bakst, who is one of Diaghilev's designers. But Stravinsky always said that something along the lines of The Coronation of Spring would have reflected the meaning of his original title more closely, and, more appropriately, for a work that marked the coronation of a new era in music. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.